ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of the Nerd Bands Podcast, season 2. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Michael Quinn. How you doing? So today we have a very big panel today, a panel that I'm really happy that everyone's here. Ladies and gentlemen, first, our new resident co-host for the time until RJ's baby drops, like the new album that it is, because it's going to be dope. Hi, RJ. Blah, 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 blah.
I miss you.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's an actress, a comedian, all-around good friend, wonderful person inside and out. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for my good friend, Susie.
Woo!
Yay! Hi. And to her right, a man that needs no introduction. And to him.
So we won't do it.
He is an actor, comedian, drummer. He's a pro wrestler like I. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Prince Atiba.
Woo!
One Division Pro.
Former president.
Former president and current agent for wonderful Iron Man matches. And to his right, his first time in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, a referee. A man that has been in the ring. The counter of three for many famous people. And I would like to say this man's reputation on the independent scene here in New York is legendary. The people that he's been in the ring with, the people he's helped, the people that he's coached wrestling-wise is amazing for referees and beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Pat.
Woo!
He doesn't remember my last name. That's how good a friend I am.
Yeah.
That hurt.
It's Savino, by the way.
I just say everyone's first name. That's it. That's
they got full names.
That's Susie.
I got a nickname.
Pat he didn't say my last name.
Thank you. Pat Savino.
You gave your last name.
Yeah, because I'm the host. It's on there. Look. Well, it's not there, but.
Look, it's not there.
Damn. See, I don't have my last name up.
His name is Nerd Badge.
Exactly. Nerd Badge is the podcast.
Mr. Badge.
It's French.
It is French. Is it? Podcast.
Nerd Badge.
Podcast.
Nerd Badge Podcast.
And to his right, a director, an actor, pro wrestler, extraordinaire of watching.
Where?
Ladies and gentlemen, he has the longest hair in the building of all the men. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, he's dressed like Freddy Krueger's little brother, but it's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike.
He almost blanked out on my name and we share the same name.
No, I just like it for anticipation. Wow,
well,
I can't
we have
build
a Michael
up.
And a Mike.
A Mike and 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 a Mike. And these two have to share mics because you're late, so you don't get a headset or what's it called. But you can hear me, so it doesn't matter.
It's all good. What?
So, we're going to get into some topics. It's going to be a little wrestling heavy today, I promise. Because I always felt like I always kind of shy away from it. So, like, last episode, we did a little bit of wrestling. We did a little Marvel in there, too. This one's going to be very wrestling heavy, and I want to talk about a couple of things. AEW, did you watch it?
I saw parts of it.
Okay. So, I want to talk about the really good things, and I have to defend things that people have been saying online, because I really did not like what people were saying. Basically, the pay-per-view was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed the first match, but I watched it again later, and it was awesome. MJF is always just doing magic in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, he's effortless.
Yeah.
Effortless. He doesn't have to go after people. They just come to him. Yeah. Him and Adam Page, great match. I want to talk about the more gimmick matches more than anything, because those are the things that, like, the Hollywood ending match was absolutely amazing.
I'm not a fan of the timeless gimmick.
I just don't like it.
I mean, nothing against her personally. I just don't like it. But that was a 5-star match.
That
was the Hollywood ending to that whole story.
Exactly. And I'm not a big fan of, like, you know, giving stars and everything like that. I just get, bro, I loved it. Yeah. Like, I kind of, and then I didn't. You know, it's not like I have a rating system or anything. Like, my meaning of judgment means anything. But I will say this, that match was phenomenal. That was the match of the night for me. Mm-hmm. That was the match of the year that I've seen so far. That was the best match I've seen, period. And I feel like there's a lot of things that people lost in that match. Like, people were sitting there saying, like, oh, it was too gimmicky. Oh, it was this. I was like, it's Hollywood. They brought out so many Hollywood stories. Like, the whole freaking glass thing.
Yeah.
Obviously from Bloodsport, Hollywood movie. You know what I mean? Like, there was just so much good. The Shoe came back. Luther got put through a table, kind of.
Which is perfect.
Which is perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was...
You have to beat up the butler.
Yeah, you have to beat up the butler. So there was, like, so much good stuff that happened in that match. And it was just the way they worked with each other. And I'm not going to say, like, I'm a fan of it. Like, I'm not, like, someone who goes out and goes, oh, that needed blood. But that match,
yeah,
they were busted open. Tony's just laying in the middle of the ring, bleeding. Like, it just looked perfect. Like,
it looked like a crime scene.
It looked like a crime scene. Like, there was so much energy and emotion behind it. Like, they weren't just, like, phoning it in. They did the spot off the stage. Uh-huh. They were all over the place. I'm like, holy crap. They're beating the crap out of each other.
And then she comes out and cuts a great promo last night.
Yeah, that was a great promo. I missed, what's it called, last night because I was busy Dynamite. Doing stuff. Yeah, Dynamite. I missed the whole Dynamite last night. I apologize to the people in AEW who watch this. but it was...
Big Bill watches this.
Big Bill watches this. Yeah. Nana watches this. He's better. He better. I'm gonna come find you. So, side note. Also, I want to bring up. I'm sorry that we have not been loading up to YouTube. I'm having a problem with the YouTube channel, and I don't want to make a new YouTube channel because I'm locked out of it for some reason. I got a new phone, and I can't upload anything. I do have the previous season up on the original page, and I put the last episode, which is a bonus episode, on my original YouTube page, which is my Steven Person / Mike Wynn YouTube page, with Nicole Zanata, and I do have a couple more of the front row section interviews that I've been doing. I have a couple people that I still want to bring in, and like I want to air those, but like I want to get the YouTube channel fixed. So if you're listening to this, I apologize. I'm gonna have to literally go to the Google building apparently to get this fixed. So yeah, it's kind of weird. Back to the whole segment. So, yeah, AEW, I mean, the main event. First off, I want to say this right now. I hate people who, I feel like people aren't paying attention to when they're watching wrestling, as stupid as that sounds. What I mean is, like, there's people who are watching their phones and playing games and doing that other stuff and seeing what other people are saying, and I really have, like, a lack of empathy on people who say, I'm not enjoying my time watching wrestling, because you're watching these stupid internet dirt sheets who spoil everything, who, again, if you're a fan of the show, I always say, screw you. I hate spoilers. Like, imagine, like, if you're, I'll give, for instance, if most people who are watching this who are pro wrestlers, imagine you're doing a show, right? And literally someone is in the back and you're just, like, you know, talking shop and everything. And then they come out and go, this person's doing this person's doing that in the middle of the ring. Wouldn't you want to punch that person right in the middle of the face? Yeah. That's how I feel about spoilers. I will never give a spoiler. I'm going to be like, oh, this person's returning. I need more Cheetos.
give me a perfect example for that. If you walked into the movie theater. When
into the mic. Into the mic.
Into the mic. Fine. When you how many saw that? Oh, that mic. That mic.
That's what he said.
When you first walk into that movie theater, when you went to see The Sixth Sense for the first time.
Yes.
If the billboard said Bruce Willis is really dead, the entire movie is ruined for
exactly,
you.
Yeah? Exactly, exactly.
Spoiler alert, by the way, for a 20-year-old movie.
So. Too soon, bro. Too soon. Yeah. But yeah, 100%. Like, the more you take the imagination and you show the wires to people, you're not cool. I don't give a damn. Like, I'm sorry. Most of these people, you're doing it for clicks on likes that nobody even cares about except for you, okay? You're not getting paid for this. You're not getting laid for this. Just stop it. Just stop with the spoilers. Please. Like, it's... I hate when I'm scrolling, too, because now, like, I guess... I'm not part of any, like, dirt sheet, like, you know, page or whatever, but it drops stuff like so-and-so is going to be returning.
Yeah, you won't
I'm
even like, get, like, a warning or anything.
Exactly. I'm like, bro, why are you doing this? Like, who hurt you that you have to sit there and take this away from people? And that's something that really pisses me off because you're just robbing people of an experience. Mm-hmm. Like, when Cena turned heel, no one saw that coming. Nobody. And it made, like... history numbers on YouTube, on Facebook.
Imagine somebody gave that up the week before.
Oh, yeah, my right? God. Oh, my God.
They wouldn't have done it.
They wouldn't have done it. They were like, oh, sorry, Cena, you're going in as a face, bro. Uh-huh. Like, it's just one of those things where I really get aggravated about it. I'm sorry I went on a rant there, but...
I mean, back in the day when Raw used to be taped and they taped four shows in one night... then the spoilers are going to get out there. Yeah. You can't control that.
Yeah.
But nowadays, if...
you're watching.
You know, you got these lurkers who sit outside the building with binoculars outside the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw CM Punk outside the arena. He's definitely going to be there tonight. Yep. You know, it just kills the flow of the show for people who are watching as a fan, as all of us are. Even though if you've been in this business for any length of time, everyone in the wrestling business is a fan of professional
wrestling. Absolutely.
We're all marks.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah.
Speaking of things I love about wrestling, we were talking about this earlier before in the show. Oh, also, I want to, sorry, before I get to that topic, the whole main event, there were people, again, who were online, on their phones, I'm pretty sure, who didn't get the story of the match, Cope versus Moxley, which was a great match. I enjoyed the match because you had, I think they kind of aired the element of the Death Riders are kind of like, what's going on with this? You know what I mean? And it was like an excitement of like, is Copeland going to beat them? You know, like he took out all the other members, which I think is beautiful. That was storytelling at its best. Like, I can't get to you. You guys are going to beat me up every time. I'm going to take out one of you guys one by one by one.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. So now you have, oh my God, he just took out everybody. That's a precipice of he could beat him. You know what I mean? And then at the end of the match, which I don't understand why the level of theater that was, the drama, was Christian comes out, signs the contract, their version of the Money in the Bank.
Okay.
He cashes out, and he goes, it was beautiful. I swear to God, that match, the ending of that match was beautiful. Moxley puts him in the bulldog to choke him out, and Christian, if it worked, I would have exploded in my pants. But he's getting choked out, and as he's
coming
going out
down the aisle,
he also what she said. so what happened was that Christian put his hand on Copeland, and the ref started to count two, and then Moxley just pulls him. I was like, dude, that is awesome. And then he chokes out Christian, rings the bell, he retains. They just saved that match to happen another time. I think it happened last night too, or...
No, what happened last night was, I didn't see the whole match, but afterwards it was, they caught up with Swerve Strickland.
Yeah.
And they were saying, oh, at the next pay-per-view, it's going to be you versus Moxley, whatever, and all of a sudden Christian, Edge walks out. And
Colbert.
He's like, Colbert.
Colbert.
He's always
he's saying, Edge.
He's Edge. He goes, remember, he goes, I have a rematch clause. Yeah. So I think the rematch is happening next week on Dynamite.
Okay.
But whichever happens, Swerve is waiting for.
Yeah, the winner. That's good.
I hope it's going to be Swerve Copeland.
Yeah.
That would be a phenomenal match.
That would be a phenomenal match. And it's sometimes like you get matches where it's like AEW puts up stuff where I do feel sometimes it's a little bit random.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, just throw these guys out there, you know? But I feel like the more they stick to contendership, and people who win and versus people just coming out like, I want a world title shot, I think that's good for the company. That's great, and that's what they're doing there. They're setting up, Strickland right now is the Thanos. So yes. We have the end of Avengers.
Uh-huh.
We know the Avengers won. What's going to happen to him next? This guy right here. So now it's like, I want to see that. Now that builds people to go, I'm going to watch because who do I want to see win? Who is going to win?
So now you're thinking... Moxley retains against Copeland next week and then drops to Strickland?
No, I think what's going to happen is that I personally think winning it on TV would be good. It builds the brand.
It
builds the ratings. You have to watch. Because not only just now, but the match itself was like so... I think it was a high-caliber match. And I think at this time now, we're going to see... because I was like, I don't know, Kenny Omega winning that belt, the international title, I think that was the title win of the show.
I read the recap online, and they said, thank you, they said that the Omega match was a little bit better than the Moxley match, and that should have headlined.
Yes. Now, I feel, again, world champ gets the main event spot. Sorry, I'm a traditionalist.
You can't have your mid-card title, a secondary title.
If it was a woman's title. I think even that could have gone on main event.
Because it's still world title,
women's world title. But I do think the international title for the moment of Kenny winning wasn't as much as, for me personally, to say, hey, put that in the main event. Because then you know what people would have said, right? Here's the guy that owns part of the company, putting his in the main event.
Right.
And that's, I feel like that's where they put that. So I think AEW, honestly, I enjoy AEW. There's some things, obviously, like, I'm not going to say I don't like, but there's things that I can sit there and go, again, I don't have the they're on television. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not somebody who should be like, oh, let's bring this girl in, you know? But at the same time, it's like, I do feel the flow of the show was off by the way they put the two gimmick matches back to back. And I feel like that's something that it's a they're still a growing company, yeah. But at the same time, it was like, it was still a good match for me to cope with because I got invested. I was like, oh, let's see what happens. This is a great story. You know, I can sit back and, you know, remove what I want from something and go, oh, I want this guy to win. Absolutely not. I'm not here for what I want. I'm here for what they deliver.
Right.
And that's what people really kind of get pissed off about. Like, I didn't like this because I told my friends this and then I was wrong and now they think I'm stupid. Like, shut up, bro.
They don't think they're stupid. They know they're stupid.
Exactly. Like, no one likes you anyway. Come on, you all know?
Right, so let's jump tag team.
Yeah.
I really thought the Outrunners were going to take it off the Hurt Syndicate.
I had no illusions that the Hurt Syndicate were going to lose.
I was hoping because I like the Outrunners.
I love them too. They're great guys.
You know, youngest tag team ever.
What did you just do?
Who do you think takes it off?
Oh.
Yeah.
Who do you think the Hurt Syndicate drops the titles? I hope it's not the Bucks because just to come back and take the titles like that, it's kind of like slapping the rest of the division in the face.
Yeah, the it's going to be someone, I think.
Are the Bucks heel or face? Sometimes it's
hard
to
keep
up.
As a heel.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's going to be the Bucks, who I truly think it's going to be.
Is it the Gun Club?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
And I see the Guns coming back because I was like, where the hell are they? They weren't on the Jericho Cruise. They weren't on television for a while. And I'm like, where are these guys? So I'm like, maybe they do like a tag team gauntlet, Royal. Multi-tag match or something like that.
For a number one contender.
Number one contender, and then the Hurt Syndicate. I feel like the Hurt Syndicate needs to beat up somebody, and then that person, that team, costs the Hurt Syndicate the titles or something like that. They try and cheat. Not that they have to, but Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley and MVP. Hi. MVP knows me very well. We helped him out with a very bad situation on the Jericho Cruise. He lost his wallet.
Oh.
And it was an effort to get it back to him. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm glad we got it back to you, bro.
You found it after he left?
No, oh, no, so it was on the boat.
Oh, to mail it and to
we,
him or something.
Well, that's the thing. We had no way of, like, getting, because my friend found it, and I was like, hey, listen, I'm literally seeing him, like, all the time. And he's like, I don't want to give it to anybody. It's like, I'd rather just hold on. I was like, all right, no problem. It's like, when I find you, stay where you are, and I'm going to find, if I see correlating people, because you had people with them, I was like, I'm going to send them to you. And it was just literally like just missing each other.
It was like, it felt like a side quest.
Yes, exactly what it was.
Side mission.
Your MVP is in a different castle. So we got it back to him, which was a great thing. MVP, great guy. He was super elated to have it back. Super like, oh, thank you so much, guys. You know, and it was a hectic time, and I promised him I was going to get it back. And I was like, please don't send Bobby Lashley after me.
Put you in the full Nelson.
I don't know if you know this, but Bobby Lashley is a big gentleman. So we hurt person. We hurt person.
He has you in a hurt lock. Exactly. Asking what a wallet is.
Oh, I don't want that. Man, where's my wallet? Oh! I can't breathe. What's it called? So, yeah, MVP was a gentleman, of course. But, yeah, going back to what we were saying before, now I'll bring it up. But, yeah, the whole pay-per-view, great pay-per-view. I get it. If you got a chance to rewatch it, definitely rewatch it. Great match. Across the card. So, we were talking about this before. Something that's really funny in wrestling is it's got a little steam, and I haven't heard about it in a while, but I think it's awesome. The Multiverse of Kings.
Yes.
Oh my God, it is beautiful. So it started off with Blue Kane.
Yes.
Right? And then it became what was the next Kane?
Was it the Rainbow one? Was it Kane or was
no,
that
there was another one.
Kane.
It was cocaine.
Cocaine came out. Oh, okay.
And then Candy Kane.
Yes.
And then cocaine. Wait. Kane. Blue Kane.
Cocaine.
Cocaine. Candy Kane.
Gain.
Gain. And then there's
Rogaine.
There's Rogaine. A yellow. There's a yellow. Who's the yellow one? Who's the yellow one?
Wait, there's a yellow one.
Yeah, there's a yellow one. Oh, there's a yellow. One. I forgot what it was.
So it's like the Power Rangers of Kane. They can have a big Kane Megazord.
There's two. This exactly what I was gonna say. So there's two Kanes that I would love to do myself, but I'm afraid of getting a cease and desist.
What is it? Tell us. You might not.
So Dr. Isaac Yankum, Nova Kane.
That could work.
So ready. What? A little bit of a lucha gimmick, if you would, right? Think about it. Dominic Kane.
Oh, that's so good. You can also do American.
Was one of the choices. I was like, I feel like that's too easy.
But the colors would look nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Mexican flag.
You can do American if you want to be like patriotic.
Mexican, we talked about it, but it was like, it's hard to do because like, I want to do like a vato. If it was going to be Mexican, I want to do like a vato gimmick. So like,
with
I
the, don't button up.
Like, hey, old vato, what's going on, man? Yo, what? Man, I killed my own brother, man. You know what I mean? I set the house on fire, bro.
The box is showing under
exactly.
His heights.
Exactly.
What about Dominican?
But that's why I said Dominican. Dominican would be more lucha. I feel like that was perfect. That was great. I was like Dominican.
Do Puerto Rican.
That would be funny if they would actually, now that I think about the Puerto Rican, yeah, that would work. Because now you have this whole three canes just pointing at each other. Lucha match.
Yeah.
Then after Wrestle Lucha, which I hate.
I think that would develop way too much into the negative stereotypes of each of those groups.
What are you talking about?
I mean, it's indie wrestling. So.
He's not coming out with a sombrero.
That would be a good gimmick, though.
With his bullet, with the bullet.
It's not like Trump's going to come out and deport all of them, you know what I mean? Like,
it's tortilla chips flying out of the gun.
Exactly.
Tostitos.
We are not sponsored.
Instead of the mist, he shoots the hot Tabasco sauce.
out of the corners.
I'm sorry. If it's hot.
Oh, my God. That would be perfect. Oh, Muda would come here and beat me with a bat.
I just want to say that if it was hot Cheetos, I would so be in.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
I love the Talkies. Flaming hot Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. They all just pull out guns. Mexican standoff.
What's the name of his finisher?
They just stab you like five times.
I feel like it would be the Hispanicane standoff.
Exactly. Oh man, we could do a stable of that, I guess, right? The trios championships, right? That'd be pretty cool.
Can I be Africane?
Wow.
Then I want to be Ukraine.
Yeah, you just come out and a bunch of Russians come out and just beat the crap out of you.
She fights Masha, right?
There you go. First match.
I'm in.
Masha just comes up, first match. So, what do I do? Just stand there.
I'm in.
Oh, my God. This is great. What else can we do? What else can we do? Canadian?
Canadian.
Canadian? Canadian.
Canadian.
He hits a Canadian destroyer.
A Canadian destroyer.
There's so much stuff you could do with Kane, too. Like, I mean, what else you could do? Oh, my God. Why am I blanking on it? Like, he comes out dressed like the Mountie. Yeah. Oh, that would be great. He comes out dressed like the Mountie.
That'd be awesome.
I am a real American.
We can do Kane dressed as Prince. Purple Kane.
Oh!
Oh, it's so good!
Oh my God! This needs to be a battle royal. We need to get everybody together and put them all in one ring, one night only.
We're finally gonna have more canes than doinks on the end.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Please, I'm sorry to say this.
Let's go.
Listen,
I just worked a show last week with a doink. Okay.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you this much right now.
Hey, doink.
I hate everybody that dresses up as Doink, and I'll tell you why.
Because they look nothing like him?
Not no. Even that. You were there for that Albany show. What else was supposed to be as Doink, right?
And Eric Adams.
Yeah, right. Eric Adams had to do it.
Not
love
the
you, Eric.
Mayor.
Not the mayor. Not the mayor.
The mayor could be a good
That would
doink.
Be interesting.
Yeah, he is a clown. But
he has the same body type.
Exactly. So here's the thing. So, like, I knew Matt Bourne. Like, yeah, I know you knew Matt, too, right? That pisses me off so much when I see people, like, who never knew him. Just doing dress up as Doink.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, we got an idea. We're going to dress you up like Doink tonight. Yourself.
Because it used to be you had to get the approval of the original guy.
Exactly.
Like the Patriot did.
Exactly.
He would say, all right, you can wear my mask.
Exactly.
I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to give you this gimmick.
The only person now who legally should be able to do it is Rey Apollo. And he still does it at conventions.
He does
at
conventions, yes.
What about
Ray.
Steve Kerr?
Him and Tiger are both there, you know, dressed as Dink.
Yeah.
But as far that enough.
Steve Kern was doing for a while too, right?
Steve Kern was doing for a while for the WWF
and
he
Brawler,
was
I think, too, right?
Yeah.
Lombardi did it a couple of times. Nick Dinsmore has done Doink.
Yes. He did.
That one random Survivor Series with the Bushwhackers and
yes.
on a mission.
Yes.
With the scariest doink ever in Mabel.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
God.
The world's largest doink.
Wait, that was it? That was it, Matt Bourne?
He put on some weight, though. Yeah. The world's largest dork.
Yeah,
world's
largest. Fell asleep in a tanning bed, swelled up, and, you know.
Yeah.
I loved when he did Born Again in ECW.
Oh, that was. Great. Let's talk about that real quick.
That was Ledger's Joker before Ledger.
Yeah. That was.
With the wild hair, messed up paint.
Yep. So here's the thing about the whole Born Again, Matt Born Again, was. It's a sad thing because people don't remember this. When Shane Douglas started ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling, he took the belt and he had a person by his side, and that person was Matt Bourne.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Matt Bourne's there. It's Bourne again.
When he throws down
the title, he puts it in a trash can. Oh, wow. Matt Bourne is standing right next to him. So, yeah, that kind of like that's like a piece of history that people kind of overlook sometimes.
Never even
yeah,
noticed that.
Yeah, you know what I heard today? Like somebody showed me this little clip. Someone showed me a clip that of, like, you know, people you may not have known that were in movies that you may not have known. So, Jingle All the Way, great Christmas movie, right?
Big show.
Yeah.
You didn't know that was Santa Claus.
People didn't know that was Santa Claus.
How?
Oh, Big Show?
How?
Yeah.
How?
Wait,
how?
I always remembered that. How?
Isn't he dating Jennifer Lopez now? Is that true?
No.
What? She's dating, like, a big wrestler now.
Not Big Show.
Is it not Big Show?
Big Show's married, so.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like.
Big Show, well, my apologies. Maybe Mrs. She's Big Show, sorry. Maybe she's,
Babe, don't listen to that girl on the stupid podcast. Sorry, put down the knife.
Mrs. Big Show, my apologies.
Maybe J-Lo's with Kurgan?
No. She was spotted.
Giant Silva?
She was spotted with this huge wrestler, and I thought for some reason it said it was two words, and I thought
maybe that's
thought
a joke because like A-Rod was like, oh, I don't care who she dates next, and then like maybe that's a joke.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I do get caught by the internet a lot. Damn you, internet!
Susie's one of the person that you had to tell, like, do not believe anything on the internet.
I am very gullible. Oh,
so also back
speaking of random wrestlers in movies, I had seen a airing of Problem Child a couple weeks ago, and I realized Kerry Von Erich.
Yep.
Is what? In the movie. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he's in the is in the prison scene with the heel of the movie. I forget the dude's name.
I forget his name,
the
too.
The mustache killer. Whatever it is. The bow tie killer.
Yeah, the bow tie killer. There you go.
Bow tie killer. Yeah. But yeah, Kerry Von Erich's in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
now I want to see him discus punch John Ritter.
Back to the original thing that I was saying. So there's another cameo that's in that scene that people didn't realize.
What scene?
In the Santa Claus scene where it's Big Show.
In the warehouse?
Oh, yeah. There's someone else in there. And I knew this, but I was shocked that no one knew this. Mm-hmm. There's somebody else, a very famous actor. I'll give you a hint. Let's see if you can guess it. He is dead, and he plays.
That helps. That narrows it down.
And he plays a smaller Santa Claus.
He's dead and plays
dead,
a smaller
Santa Claus.
Vert Troyer.
Yes.
Mini-me.
Oh, I love him.
He played a mini-Santa. Really? Remember the little mini-Santa that gets knocked
what
off?
What year did Jingle All the Way come out?
That's Vert Troyer.
Wow. He's awesome.
People never knew that.
Rest in peace.
What year did that movie come out? Anyway?
Oh, that came out like 98, 99?
Because this would have been... So this would have been...
Maybe 96?
What we're talking about now, the only reasons to actually watch Jingle All the Way.
Exactly.
You gotta put yourself through the whole thing.
What was it? Oh, please, I can watch that movie all day.
Wasn't Sinbad he in Austin Powers?
He was mini-me. He was mini-me. Yep.
Jingle All the Way came out in 96.
God, called it.
So this is before his Austin Powers.
Yeah, Austin Powers came out. When did Austin Powers come out? 97, 98?
97 was the first one, but the one with Mini-Me would have been 99.
Yeah, 99 came out. Austin Powers came out in 97.
Yeah,
and then
Spy
Mini-Me.
Who Shagged Me was 99.
Yeah, the first one came out in 97.
Yep. And then 90, early 97.
99 was Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, what didn't come out? Like August or something like August, July? I think it was a summer movie.
No, it just said 99.
I think it came out in July because I remember working at a summer camp that year, and that's all we were quoting.
Oh, you're the one who killed all those kids?
Yes, I did. They went
actually, no.
The, because they spoke ill of Jingle All the Way.
It came out early.
How dare they?
Did it come out early?
It came out May 2nd, 1997.
Yeah, summer movie. That's a summer movie. Yeah. We're getting out of school.
Those kids had to come.
We're getting out.
Yeah. We're cutting.
We're cutting. Who cares? I'm graduating. Man, I'm not going to summer school.
Who cares about truancy? They're not going to catch us.
What are you going to do? Maybe come into summertime? Oh, crap, they are.
There's this thing called summer school.
Yeah, exactly.
It don't matter.
So, yeah. another thing I want to talk about is a little bit of pro wrestling. Sorry, Susie, we're just going pro wrestling.
No, right? It's fun. It's fun to jump in with just random stuff.
So, LFG.
Oh, yes.
Let's beep go.
Yeah, basically. I don't know what it stands for.
Legends and Future Greats.
Yeah, Legends
and
Future
Greats. Oh, my God. I heard that's what it meant for. I was like, no.
I like the Deadpool LFG.
Yeah. So, I feel like it's like... I haven't
tough enough too.
Yeah, it's basically that's what it is.
Except it's a contest too, which is also like the original NXT.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I feel like it's
NXT, a combination of those two things.
It's NXT, and I feel like they have some great people on there. Bubba Ray Dudley, they have the Undertaker, they have Mickey James,
Booker T.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the whole story. I'm not talking about rumors or whatever or not, but I was like,
rumors of what?
So apparently, I swear to God, I hate even talking about this. Apparently, Mickey James got cut from the show because Undertaker's wife wanted to be on it.
For season two.
Yeah, for season two. Which I don't understand because, like, I feel like The Voice, maybe they are bringing in other people, but I guess maybe hey, let's bring Michelle in too. And they were like, oh, it's just cut Mickey. Like, no. That's what I think kind of happened. Yeah. But anyway.
It's like only one lady.
Only one set of boobs. Sorry, guys. But yeah, so is it on yet, or did it start?
It started.
There's about three episodes up right now. And I bring in guests. I actually refereed Mickey James' last match before she went to WWE. Ooh. She was still Alexis Lurie in Delaware Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, my God. That was forever ago. That was in the 90s.
No, early 2000s.
Yeah. No, she was.
Early 2000s. I remember when she was. Because I remember when she first got signed, it was in all of the.
No, she was Sable's. What's it called?
Stoker. No, that's Tori.
That's Tori.
Oh my God, I'm old.
Crap. I started in 2000.
They did a similar gimmick because Mickey James did stalk Trish Stratus, so they kind of rehashed that storyline.
Was it Trish?
Yeah, it was Trish.
You're right. They rehashed the storyline. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. That got me. Sorry.
HLA, man.
That got me.
Yeah. HLA.
Yeah. Speaking of that, he
was on LFG Bischoff.
Also, shout out to all the female wrestlers as of late who have been absolutely murdering it as of late.
Yeah.
I mean, this is definitely not your bra and panties era anymore. Is women, this is what, they were trying to tell them, hey, girls, go out there, do your match again. Don't hit each other that hard. You know, back in the day, so Susie, you appreciate this. Back in the day, the women's wrestlers were
a classic wrestling girl.
Yeah. Yes.
So what happened was that they had bra and panty matches and, all these, female, emasculating.
Yes. All attitude.
Emasculating. Yeah, so what would happen was that these women would go out and they were told basically go out there, pull each other's hair and blah, 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 blah.
Gravy bowl matches,
just stupid, just
mud wrestling.
Yeah, get the teenage boys, up at attention,
It was popcorn.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Which they all were. I was even up at attention. Yeah. So. Better now.
So what happened was that there was kind of a revolution between certain women who were wrestlers and Trish Stratus and Victoria and Lita and I would say even Tori.
Yeah.
Tori was throwing some bows a little bit, but she wasn't as great as everyone else. But there was an era where the female wrestlers were we're going to wrestle like the men. We're going to go out there and
Victoria was one of them.
Victoria, I see her all the time, and she's absolutely amazing. She was Miss Marie.
Lisa Marie.
We love you, and we appreciate everything that you've done for pro wrestling. You deserve
her flowers.
Your flowers
now, too. She is WWE now. WWE is acknowledging her more. They're putting her in the game and everything.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I was I wonder if she's going to be in the game. I'm not a big video game guy, but she's congratulations to you.
Uh-huh. Lisa Marie, also love your sticker collection.
Yeah. So now,
speaking of people randomly thrown into WWE video games, New Jack.
Yeah, yes. We'll talk about that later. That's later. So
they won't have the rights to his music, or will they? They could.
Yeah, so anyway, so Susie, what happens is now that they start a revolution, they were told, listen, you can't hit better than the men. And that's what they were doing. They're going out there putting on classic matches. Some shows were actually taped. So what happened was they were like, go back out there and do your match again, but with less striking or less wrestling. So then eventually, I think it was, what would you say is, for me, it's two different eras. There's the Trish era, Trish, Lita, and Victoria, and Mickey, and Beth era. And then there's the newer female generation, which...
Four horsewomen.
Yeah. They're four horsewomen, right?
Yeah, because there was a gap in between those eras. Remember when they added the Divas title?
Yeah, exactly. And they had Candice Michelle and all those other chicks.
When they did
chicks.
That Diva search thing.
And Melina. I give props to Melina, too. I apologize.
Oh, I love Melina.
Melina, you were throwing some kicks out there, too. And the split leg drop thing was awesome as your finisher.
And her scream, the Sindel type scream. Yeah.
The Primal Scream, I think, was the name of her finisher. But anyway, so yeah, get off track.
Paige, to some degree.
Yes, later on. Paige and
AJ. That's my point. AJ
Lee.
That's exactly what I was going to say. AJ Lee, Paige. You definitely...
Bailey.
But not Bailey so much, but there's a little bit of a...
Because I think we're still coming off of that
exactly.
whole era too,
so I think there was the middle group of people who came out before... what's her name? Got busted open on SmackDown. Brain fart. Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch got her nose broke.
From Nia, right? Yeah.
That was something. That was something that made a spark. And I feel like there was not a lull, but it was carried over, and you saw women going out there and wrestling.
Because now it added story as opposed to just the wrestling. Exactly. That was the other part of Revolution 2. Now we can do actual stories, too.
Exactly.
That can be a main event.
Exactly. So now you have all the women going out there, and then you have the Four Horse Women, who I think really did bring it into its prime and then create a working area for women like
Ruby Soho.
Yeah.
Mandy Moore.
Yeah. You have Candice LeRae.
Mandy Moore or Mandy Rose?
Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose was the singer.
Mandy Moore is
the singer, yeah.
You know what?
Candy.
She can get to the ring, too.
You know how much loss she went through on that show, This Is Us? A lot of emotional growth. So
she can do it.
Yeah. So anyway, so then you had women like, what's it called? Like Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
I followed Alexa Bliss. Yeah. She's like a classic to me.
Yeah. And then you have like these women who go out there, and now you have like Rhea Ripley. You have Raquel Rodriguez. You have
Chris Statlander.
Not, I'm talking about just in the
E. You have like
different. Just an E?
Yeah. Women's champ.
EO?
Not yeah, well, EO, that's another story.
Oh, Tiffany Stratton?
Tiffany Stratton. Yeah. You have, I can't remember
her name.
That's
the thing. We're getting different styles of women wrestling now, too. That's the thing.
Dominic's girlfriend. Lucha. I can't believe I forgot her name.
Oh, Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan. There you go. Like, those are the women that have been coming up.
I was going to say Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
So, come on, Liv Tyler, Mandy Moore. Perfect tag team right there.
So Liv.
Steve Tyler and I'm in.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Liv Tyler is helping out with the Hulk right now, so that's a different story. But yeah, like, Liv Morgan has been like an accessory to the women's division. Uh-huh. Rhea Ripley, WrestleMania, these things are Charlotte coming back. There's such an area that they built, which is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And you can actually watch your matches. These aren't like the bathroom break matches where you see people are invested in these matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes more than some of the men's.
Exactly. Right. More than the men's. Like, they're getting TV time. They're getting, it's not like, it's no longer, which I enjoy saying, it's wrestling, not women's wrestling.
All right.
If that makes sense.
Squash match.
Exactly. No. I mean, like, you're saying that's we're going to watch that one match from the show. You're not saying, that women's match. Exactly. You're saying it as what it is, professional wrestling.
Even when they refer to the women's tag titles, you just call them the tag titles.
They call them tag titles.
They don't call them the women's tag titles. They just call them the tag titles.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's something that has been on the grow for a very long time, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
And the fact that whenever they have a Royal Rumble now, they can use mostly the current roster. They don't have to bring back all these legends or people from like developmental to fill it up.
Right.
It's mostly current.
That's exactly what my next thing was going to be. Shawn Michaels and his big booty obsession.
Yes. Nah. He's for the culture.
Oh my God. Every girl out there, I hate saying it, he's going and throwing women on television and these matches, there are some great.
Makes sense.
There are some. I get it. But I'll tell you right now, there are some women that, I mean, they're just absolutely forgettable. And I hate saying it, but there are some women in NXT that are coming up. The ones that are on television right now, like, are really good. Like, what's her name? The Bird Lady.
Who's the Bird Lady?
Lyra
Valkyria.
Lyra Valkyria.
You know, the Bird Lady?
Yeah.
She helped Kevin the other
day. I thought you were going to say D from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
I love Always Sunny. It's one of my favorite shows.
I'm not a bird. All right. But anyway,
dang, man.
There are so many women when it's like, who is this person? And I feel like the NXT takeovers and the NXT shows
They're women dominated, too.
They're women dominated, but I'm saying this right now.
It's glow. NXT is glow now.
They literally just, nobody stands out. They all have pretty looking gear.
Jada Parker stands out. She goes viral for reasons.
I know, yeah. But anyway, but like, there's things out there that they're not creating a character. Lyra Valkyria, I love her gimmick. Yeah. I love the whole, like, she's like a
raven.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. There's the other
one. She's on the main roster now.
Exactly. So. She's on the main roster. Yeah. So
there's, and that's why.
Yeah. So Cora Jade. Like, I feel like Cora Jade is that in between of like, she needs something to get her to that next level, because there's so many pretty girls on television, on wrestling, that what makes you not a pretty girl? And I say that in full respect.
So she has
she can wrestle. She can go out there. She can do great matches.
She has to ugly herself up.
Not ugly herself up, but like, what makes you different?
Oh.
What makes you just a pretty girl? Like, what's going to be, okay, you got pretty gear and you have, like, you know, your stuff out. You got your hair, your makeup done. Okay, great. What makes you different?
Need some promos.
Exactly. What's your character? What makes you want to, what makes me want to be a part of you? Right. And I feel like this is the one thing I always hate about the WWE is the machine. Yes, they don't let people.
Like a factory.
Exactly. It's like this is something that I noticed from Johnny's. I could literally point out people who wrestled at Johnny's, who were trained by Johnny, because they all have the fingerprint. They have three. We all wrestle this, not the same, but there's fundamentals that are there, and it doesn't make you different. You know, so that's why I get excited when AEW brings in these other guys, and you're like, okay, this is a different clash. In WWE, everybody's working together all the time, and it's just the same footprint, the same footsteps, the same way they hit the ropes, the same way. It's like I'm watching different, the same person do different things, and it's annoying. Like, I'm like, you know? Yep. So, like, even on the main roster.
It's like when you're playing a video game and it's just a palette swap.
Exactly the same. It's like a video game when you're beating up a whole bunch of red elves. I'm not beating up red elves. You're beating up pink elves.
The clone characters in Tekken.
Exactly.
Christy and Eddie Gordo, same character.
Yeah. Also, Mokujin.
Yes.
What about their random name generator?
Oh my God.
Man. The names are so generic.
Joe Johnson and his partner, Johnson Joe.
That would be at least something different. Like, okay, that's clever. I can see that, but... It's literally just paint by numbers. Let's pull names out of a Scrabble bag and pour them out on the tile.
Remember Buddy Murphy, how he said he got his name? It was two Eddie Murphy references. Buddy Love from...
Buddy Love is... And then Murphy.
Yeah.
From Nutty Professor. Yeah. And then Murphy's from Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy Murphy. Because they saw generators, and he said that's what stuck out to
him.
Mike, you and I are practically the same age. We go back to, you know, the late 80s and early 90s, and everyone had a character.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Greg the Hammer Valentine had a character. Earthquake had a character. Not everyone needs a real sounding name.
Exactly.
Even Edge. It doesn't have to. Yeah.
I personally, I'll say this though. I personally hate people with one names on the indies.
I hate one name in general.
I do hate them. But here's the thing though. On television, they have a character. They have something with it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Funkasaurus. Like, but it's descriptive.
He's still Brodus Clay.
Exactly.
Funkasaurus,
Brodus Clay. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like there was a name to it. Yeah, you know what I mean? But eventually what they do, they just cut out the Brodus Clay and just call him Brodus Clay. I get it. But like Rhea Ripley, like that's a name. I can believe Rhea Ripley because she's a character. Mm-hmm. I believe the character, not just the name. But you have this guy coming out like, oh, my name is David Johnson. You know, like, all right. I went to school with a kid like that. What makes you different than him?
It reeks of enhancement talent.
Exactly. And if I feel like it's so disposable, like I still cannot like stomach Bron Breakker. And I know that's his. And
that,
I
was
get
that was
call
always my favorite
him
thing.
Steiner.
Yeah.
It's his son.
Yeah, be Bron.
And Scott's
Steiner.
Son is now training.
Exactly.
He's gonna be in the
his son's name is Brock, right? Brock.
Brock. Yeah, Brock Steiner. Brock Steiner.
Brock Steiner.
He looks that kid looks scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid is crazy scary looking.
You and I have both been in the ring with Scotty, so Rob for that matter. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, scary people.
Scary people.
I loved, though, watching as a kid. I'm going back to, like, WWF Superstars and Wrestling Challenge. Mm-hmm.
That's when I was the biggest fan. Yeah.
And
even up like jobber
even,
number two.
Even, even as a 7-year-old Mark, you always knew who was going to win just by listening to Howard Finkel.
Yes.
It was always the same. In this corner, from parts unknown, weighing 475 pounds, the world's most dangerous man, the Ultimate Warrior, and his opponent, Jim. Bill.
That is the God honest truth. And there was always the thing. You probably remember this story, right? So there was a rumor that I think it was WrestleMania 12, maybe? Wait, it was after WrestleMania.
Are you talking about when the first Ultimate Warrior died and was replaced by the Texas Tornado?
No. It's the time.
Yeah, I remember that rumor.
It's the time where I think it was, I could be 100% wrong. Please don't quote me on this. Luger got drunk at a bar.
Yep. And WrestleMania 10.
WrestleMania 10. There you go. I was like, I wasn't 9, it wasn't 12.
He was still narcissist at that point. Really.
Yeah. Yes.
No, he was already face. Yeah. He was made in the USA.
Say, he did
that.
The whole 10. Body slam on the Intrepid thing.
Oh, yes, yes. 10,
so 10. Now what happens is that he gets drunk at a bar. I have no clue where it is. Again, don't quote me on this.
Manhattan somewhere.
It was Manhattan.
They were at the Garden.
That's right. It was about like a day or two prior to the show.
It was the Sunday paper, the Daily News.
Yeah.
There was an article in it that was called Wrestlers Are Tattlers About WrestleMania.
Yes.
And went into great detail about how they found out because Lex was drunk at a bar, allegedly, how Lex was going to win the title from Yokozuna, but then lose it later in the night to Brett, thanks to referee Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
So they spoiled most of it. They had to, I don't know if that was the original plan, and they switched it. But that was what was printed in the paper Sunday morning as I'm getting ready to watch WrestleMania.
So what happened was that, so Vince got ridiculously pissed off. And that was basically the end of Lex at that point.
Was it written by the Slammer? Maybe he had a second.
Remember there was a guy Slammer, the Slammer, he had the mask on? Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically what happened was that he got drunk.
That was Black Jack Brown, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Black Jack has since passed on.
Passed, right? Yeah, God bless. I remember hearing about that when he passed.
So basically that's what happened. Luger got drunk, ruined his own career, and So
that, and now he's going in the Hall of Fame.
And he's going in the Hall of Fame. You know who else? This is a little story that people don't know. Even though they said it, I mean, they did say it actually recently where the Ultimate Warrior would when he basically tried holding up Vince for money.
Uh-huh. SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. It was him versus was it Jake the Snake?
No, it was him and Hogan versus the Triangle of Terror.
Yes. With Psycho Sid as the guest referee. Sid Justice at that point.
So what happened was that they promised Jake the world title, but he was going to beat Warrior for it. Ooh, so what happened was that Warrior decided to go into business for himself, got fired, and then Jake goes, all right, so what's going on? It's like, I just fired Warrior. That whole story's done.
Oh, no. I didn't know it was for the title, but I do remember that.
Yeah,
story.
It was for the title.
That was the second time Jake got screwed over. They were going to put him in a program with Hogan. They taped two different tapings.
Was that the 80s one?
A snake pit. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Ended up DDTing Hogan.
Got cheered.
You know, walked to the back, whatever. And Vince is there with Jake going, just wait, they're going to start chanting Hogan any second. And the crowd starts going, DDT.
Uh-huh. DDT.
Program done.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry about those millions of dollars you could have made there.
Yeah. You know? Twice this happened to the poor guy. Oh, Jake's an awesome guy. It's funny, though, because, like, I feel like we can go through this. What? Susie's going to be a little bit out on this.
That's okay. Susie loves to jump in. Okay. Susie's part of the crowd.
So we'll talked about this before because, like, you brought this up before. Yeah. It's a great topic for the show since we're doing wrestling stuff. We got, like, 15 minutes left. Wrestling stories.
Tales from the ring truck.
Trails from the ring truck. Now, for us, it's kind of limited because we didn't have that many ring truck stories because we had Gleason's and the ring was always set up. Thank you, Johnny. but I'll say this. Give me a funny road story. I'll start, right? So I want to make it PG. I'm going to try to make a PG story.
Mine involves weed. Can I mention that?
Sure, it's fine. Okay. Weed's legal.
It's
so,
legal now. Oh, yeah.
Just call it the devil's lettuce. Yeah,
that is lettuce.
I'll light up right now.
A little bit. The old Chuck Norris pubes. What else? So I'm trying to think of a good road story. Oh, okay. So I'm in Ohio, right? And this is around right when I first started branching out from Johnny's, and I was doing handshake deals all across. I was literally manifest destiny my way. I started in Jersey, and a guy goes, hey, listen, we're doing a show next week. You want to come down? Cool, no problem. Shake hands, go a little bit deeper in Jersey. Hey, we're doing a show. Another guy, hey, listen, I really liked what you did out there. I was like, oh, thanks. Hey, we're doing a show in Philly next week. You want to come? Sure, no problem. Yep. Handshake, going out to Philly. Go to Philly. Hey, we're doing a show in Pittsburgh. Okay, sure. And this kept, I called it my manifest destiny because I made it all the way to Ohio, right?
Magellan over
Jackson.
Here.
Yeah. So now I go to Ohio.
Lewis and Clark getting across the country with a ring truck.
Managed and I'm driving myself. Julia.
And I'm driving myself. And most of the time I just slept in my car. I was like, screw this. I'm not getting a hotel for one night because I was like, this is stupid. You know, like I would literally drive out there during the middle of the night, crash, do the show, and then just drive back. You know, super easy, right? I go out to the Boise, Idaho, right? I make it all the way out there.
Great. Canceled.
No. Actually, you know what? I got a better story. This is recent too. So, I'll finish this one. Screw it. So anyway, so I go to Ohio, right? And at the time, I was really working on this one finisher, right? And like the inverted Walls of Jericho that I used to do. Remember?
Yes.
So like I'm really working on. I'm like, yo, this move
was that
really
the good. Mic stand or
yes, I called it the mic stand. So I called it the mic stand, right? And what's it called? I was like. It was good because I was always talking to a microphone. Like, I had the mic stand out in a while for Gleason's. I'd walk out with the microphone. I'd have it in the mic stand and talk everything.
Kennedy!
Yeah. So, no, Kennedy.
Which one was the two-drink minimum? Didn't you have a finisher?
Yeah,
it was all based off of stand-up?
Yeah, but that's what... it was the two-drink minimum, but that was like when I did the whole entire backflip off the ropes.
Yes.
When I did handspring into a backflip off the ropes. Yeah, I was able to backspring back in the day, baby. So, and then I hit my knee really hard and I stopped doing it.
Now we can't even hamstring.
Yeah.
Nope. So what happened was that I So I had the like inverted Walls of Jericho. Imagine like where you have the Walls of Jericho, but you're just turned around. Got and it. His arms, are, his feet are facing out this way on these my armpits. And I put my knee into the back of the head. It was a beautiful looking move. I go out to Ohio. And there is like a couple of matches before me, right? And someone goes, hey, could you do me a favor and give this person a ride back to the hotel later? I was like, yeah, sure. I'm hanging out. I don't care. You know, single me at the time. Sure. I'm just making friends, whatever. I do my little, you know, I'm like, all right, I network, you know. So now there's a women's match before my match, right? True story. I put, before the show starts, you know, I'm showing the guy, hey, this is how I do my move, you know, because I was apparently going over, which is fucking weird, you know, funky weird. So I'm showing him. He's like, oh, okay. And I noticed, I was like, I just see, it was so weird. Like, I just don't know how to describe this. Like, I'm going to put it on camera real quick. This is what I see is just this. Somebody is like watching. And I was just, it's like in the distance. I just see, oh, this girl must have been like 300 and something pounds.
Oh, shit.
She's the one who popped out. She has like this stupid mini skirt. Long story short, she's the promoter's girlfriend. So you know what this means. So she goes out there, she does her match, and it is, I mean, promoter girlfriend match. She does my move. Snaps her leg.
No.
Snaps her own leg?
Snaps her own leg. Oh, wow. Trying to do it. Because she put Jesus. She put the leg down, like the knee.
She put too much weight on her leg.
Dude, she put the right knee under. She turned to the left, put the right knee on the back of the girl's head.
Holy shit.
The girl's bent. And she tries, like, leaning back with it, like I do. Her left leg just goes at the calf.
Like a Sid Vicious type break.
Basically. Like falls. Ooh. I'm like, oh my God.
She doesn't fall onto the girl, does she?
She falls onto the girl.
Oh, no.
Girl's okay. She took, oh, my leg. And I'm like, ooh, that sucks. And I'm like, I hear someone screaming. I'm like, what happened? I don't realize what happened until like 2 weeks later because I see the video because it was like being passed around from everybody. And I'm like, oh, crap. This girl was the one I was supposed to drive back.
Whoops.
I take her to the hospital. And the promoter's like, that's my girlfriend, bro. Take care of her, blah, blah, blah. She's got to go to the hospital. I got to stay with the show. And we're like about maybe like 4 matches in for like 7, like 10 matches.
Why does he have to stay?
Nah.
Brother, I got to run this show, brother. Like,
50, sorry, babe.
50
You're
50,
on your own. Sorry, you died. But
50 people need me, babe. 50
show
people need me.
Go on.
So now.
I got to run the 50-50.
I'm like, I'm looking at her. She's a big girl. I'm like, do you want to call an ambulance? No, man. Listen, we don't have insurance out here, brother. We got to get her out. All right.
We got to get her out.
All right. No problem.
We're in the pickup truck. You
know. Literally. I leave my car there. We carry her
on your back.
No. Bro, it took like 3 of us to get to the car in the first place. So we get her to the van, right? Get her to the van. She's sitting there like, I can't believe it. I can't believe I hurt my leg. Oh my God, I've been doing that move for like 7 years or something like that. I do that move for like 7 years. I'm like, oh wow, 7 years? She's like, yeah, you know, I've been doing, and she sounds like an old smoker. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it for 7 years. I'm like, oh cool. It's like, how long have you been wrestling for? I've been wrestling for 4.
Makes sense. I mean, I've been doing the super kick before I was a wrestler.
Bro, you know, I'm literally like,
You know how many kids I put in the sharpshooter before I even got to the ring?
I've been accused of slow counting before, but that one, I think that's a little off.
Yeah. And I have like 2 other people in the van with me, like dying laughing, like, okay. So anyway, like we're trying not to like laugh, but we're like whatever. So now she basically like, oh yeah, you know, I beat like a whole bunch of people for titles with that match. Like, oh, how many times I beat so many people for titles with that move. I can't believe I finally like I hurt myself on that move. I was like, really? And I'm like, this is gonna be some bad math again, man. It's like, oh, how many matches have you had? I mean, how many title matches have you had? Oh, I won my first title like 3 weeks ago.
She might have had a lot of matches since then. Defending like, that title in 3 weeks.
She went to the Scott Steiner School, yeah, man.
School, man. All right, so that's...
She had 33 1/3 chance of breaking her leg.
So, so basically, that's... It was just a very uncomfortable time in the ER. And then, like, she's sitting there like, oh, man, this is going to stop my career. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm trying not to say, like, I know you stole my move. You tried doing it for the first time and broke your goddamn leg.
No, I think you doing the move reminded her of the move she used to do for 7 years. Yeah. She forgot.
That's what happened. All the pain going through her head. All right, give me a story. Give me a story. Make it quick. We only got a couple minutes.
I smoked weed with Savio Vega at Elk's Lodge.
I was there for that.
Yes, yay. You were.
Because he sold him the weed.
Because our buddy has a list of wrestlers that he smoked weed with.
Jose.
Yes. K-Man.
Hi, K-Man.
He has a list of all of the wrestlers. He's like, like Piper and everybody. So he has like a whole like chart. He's
check.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
All right.
So just on that, I am not a big purveyor of the devil's lettuce, but occasionally. So about a year ago, I'm outside the ECW arena for Battleground, and Godfather's there.
Oh, I know the story.
I'm outside with Godfather and Rob Van fucking Dam.
Now you have to.
And they have to, and they pass it to me. You don't have a choice, at that point. You have zero choice.
And they got the high quality.
Oh, good shit. Yeah. Good shit. Quick story. So let's go back to early 2000s again. So kids, this is before MapQuest. This is before GPS. This is before, and actually MapQuest was there. The GPS didn't exist. Facebook didn't exist. Get a phone call from some rando. Hey, really like your work. We want to, come out and use you on a show, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, triple my rate right away. He agrees right away. I'm going, money mark, cool. Print out my directions. Get out there, and I'm on a residential street in front of a house, and I'm going, am I in the right spot? Oh. So checking through my notes, I happen to look in my rearview mirror. Chris Candido pulls up right behind me.
Oh, God.
I'm like, all right, cool. At least there's somebody here that I know. So back and forth, this kid comes running out of his house. Oh, my God, you guys are here. This is great. Pat, you're going to referee all the matches. Chris, you're going to wrestle my brother for the title in the main event. It's in the backyard. Come on. Chris just goes, no. He goes, I'm wrestling Pat. And I'm about a year and a half, 2 years in at this point, and I'm just giving him the side eye going, what the fuck are you doing to me, dude? And he's like,
what, the funk? Funk? Because we don't curse?
Funk, yes. I said yes. Funk. So, exactly. Kid goes, no, it's going to be, you'll see, it's going to be great. Chris goes, no. I'll tell you what, let me wrestle Pat. We'll do an ECW rules match. Nice. Kid's eyes go wide, goes running to tell his friends, and I'm looking at Chris going, what are you doing to me? I'm a year and a half in. I'm still green as grass. He goes, get your money in advance, get changed, put all your stuff in your car, leave your keys in the ignition. And I'm going, okay, fine. Do what he says, whatever. He says, well, what do you want to do out there? He says, I'll call it out there. I'm like,
Crap.
Never done that before, but always wanted to try. Let's have some fun. So they go through their backyard nonsense. Finally comes time for the main event. So here comes me. Here comes Candido in his full gimmick. He was wearing the Taz outfit at the time. We destroy this kid's backyard. We did about a minute of chaining in the ring. He was ready to have some fun. I'm like, yeah, let's have some fun. Tosses me outside. There's like a lattice fence that he put me through. His mother had like roses, and they were hitting each other with roses. Destroyed this kid's battery. I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of damage he did. We start working. And I'm like, all right, so what he goes, picks me up. He goes, you ready to go home? I'm like, yeah, sure. What do you want to do? He says, just follow me. I'm like, he's not calling any moves. Yeah. I'm like, what is the finish? Let's go here. He leads me out towards the front of the house, picks me up, slams me onto the hood of my car, and says, follow me. Hey, I'm on the cell. Plus, I just got body slammed on the hood of a car, so not a hell of a lot of selling going on here. I see him get into his car and drive off. I get into my car and start literally chasing him through the streets. He makes a right. I make a right. He makes a left. I make a left. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? My cell phone goes off. Text message from Chris. He goes, I told you, go home. I'm like, oh,
nice.
Got it.
No. I love that story so much. Every time I hear it, I'm like, it's so good. Because I imagine, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Why follow me? Just go
Hollywood backline brawl, though.
All right, give me one. Last story.
All right, last story. I'm not a wrestler, but I do a lot of ring.
I play one on TV.
I do a lot of ring crew with Pat. So we were out in Long Island somewhere. You know where this is going. We get out there early. Bethpage. I'm setting the ring up with Pat, and who's there? It's Balls, Mahoney, Axel Rotten, Raven, Candido.
This was a USA Pro show.
Oh, God! I was going to say, is this USA Pro?
Yeah.
Frank Goodman used to Frank book Goodman the ECW there. Guys that were available.
Yes.
So now, I'm looking around as I'm putting the ring together, and I'm seeing all these guys, and I'm in the back of my head, I'm like, don't mark out. Be professional. Don't mark out. we put the ring together, and I'm thinking, you know, like Balls and everybody sees me with Pat putting the ring together. So he goes, Pat goes, all right, he goes, we're done until the end of the show. Just, you know, hang out or whatever. I'm like, all right, so I'm checking out the merch stand, and I buy the Rise and Fall of ECW on DVD. And now Pat's talking to Balls, and I'm like, I got nothing else to do. I just walk up, you know, just hanging out, listening to the stories, whatever. And Balls looks at me, and Balls sitting next to, it's Balls, Axel, Pat. Now, Axel's seen me setting the ring up. Balls, I don't know what the hell where he was. He goes, you want me to sign that? And I'm like, sign what? He goes, the DVD. He goes, you going to open it? I'm like, yeah, when I get home. He goes, you going to rip my autograph off? I look at him. I go, rip your autograph? I go, what the hell are you talking about? Meanwhile, Pat and Axel, they're pissing themselves because me and Balls are having two totally different conversations, not knowing what the hell's going on. Finally, I realized, like, oh, he wants me to. I'm like, I rip him, like, oh, yeah, here, John, here, sign it. So now, everybody, I think Sonny was there. Mm-hmm. Candido showed up as the match, as the Raven, as the match was going on. And I'm like, I'm looking around, my eyes are popping out of my head. And I'm like, be professional, don't mark out. He goes to me, he goes, Mike, if you want, you can get autographs. Before the word stopped resonating in my ear, I ran back out to the ring truck. I got the DVD. Sign this, please, Sonny. Chris, please sign this. Cool as ice. Everybody was cool as ice. And that was just one of many excursions I had with this knucklehead.
Awesome.
What about when the arena got set on fire?
Okay, we're going to save that one for next time. Literally, because we got to end this show.
That's so a good cliffhanger, though.
Even wanting more.
Yep.
You'd even want more, because that's what happens every single time, baby. We got to sit there and leave people wanting more, because if we don't give them more, they don't come back.
More like how Steve Colbert says, always leave the people wanting some.
Exactly. See, that's the thing I love about Colbert. Colbert was really funny. I loved him on the Colbert Report. You ever?
Yes.
He was awesome on that show.
I don't know if you've ever seen my brother, but he looks just like my brother. I'm not
he
kidding.
Does? Oh my God, he does.
No, like if I show you a picture, he looks just like my brother. Glasses, the hair. It's actually the personality. My brother's really sarcastic and funny. That's like his doppelganger.
Has he ever gotten to go to any of his shows?
I don't know, actually.
I think your brother was supposed to come. Yeah, I know your dad came.
I'm pretty sure if he went live to Colbert's show.
Oh, no, to Mike's show. My dad's came to a few of Mike's shows, but not the Colbert show. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure if your brother showed up at Colbert's show, he would, like, single him out.
Probably. Yeah, he does look like, he's, like, very much that's his, like.
He might do a segment or something, whatever.
And he's very funny.
I do want to do a quick shout-out here. We are, you know, nearing the end of our podcast for this evening. One of the true independent wrestling legends who's been to the show a couple of times is having his final match in a little over a week, Homicide.
I thought he had it already.
187. No, it's going to be at Outlaw Wrestling in Brooklyn. I believe it is next Thursday.
Oh, geez. I thought it was last week. I thought it was last Saturday.
No, he's got one more coming.
Okay. All right. Hey, Homicide, big fan.
But respect. Thank you for the years, man.
Dude,
thank
literally, you. Like, he was so kind to me, like, at, like, certain shows that I was at. And I want to say, like, straight up right now, like, Homicide, there was an ROH versus Hog show. I did a pre-show there, and I want to say thank you so much for being so nice to me. Thank you for coming down to NDIW all those times to come down and show us some things. Very instrumental in some steps and growth that I was able to sit there and use those tools that you gave us. Enjoy your retirement. You absolutely deserve it. You are a world-renowned wrestler through people who were able to watch your craft, have definitely made their experiences watching pro wrestling a lot better. I mean, the time of you and TNA is enough on itself. Ring of Honor world champion, many more accolades that I can sit there and say. TNA X Division champion, TNA tag champion multiple times. The wrestling world's gonna is behind the scenes in front of the camera. It's not gonna be the same what you got. So I just want to say
he was a staple of all my early DVDs when I was starting getting into the indies. Every DVD I had, I think he was on it.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna call it a shot. But first, I got to give a couple shout outs. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see. I got the right date. Hold on. Let me start over. April 12th. There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, April 12th, Pro Wrestling XX. I'm going to be taking on Ace Christian in a qualifier match for the Pro Wrestling Eliminator qualifier match. And it is going to be in good old Jersey. It's going to be, you've got the exact address. Let me pull it up. 827 Jersey Ave, and I still can't say this right, Cluster City, New Jersey.
I've never even heard of that.
I know, me neither.
where is that?
Jersey, what? The armpit of America.
What part of Jersey is that? Like
it's
middle?
Really south. It's right by Philly. It's really it's right by Philly. It's literally all the way down. Yeah, and then... And then the 28th, I will be in good old Long Island. I will be wrestling at SWA, Fool Me Three Times, NYWC Sportatorium. Come down. I'm going to be in Arizona. It's going to be the North and South Connection. I'm going to have to say this one over again because I screwed up the title. Here we go. Smoke Signals. I want to say the Smoking Signals, but I was wrong. The Smoke Signals. Really great guys, Native American wrestlers. We're going to be going for the AWWA Tag Team Championships. It's going to be a really banger match, which I can't wait to see. Be a part of, should I say. It's going to be at 3337 West Peoria Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. I will be going out there on April 18th. That's the day of the show. Yes, April 18th, Friday night, bell time at 9 o'clock. So be there. It's going to be a great time. Also, since we have Pat here for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we always do this.
I get my own mustache?
Kind of.
He gets a mustache ride.
What are you talking about? You can't get this. This is my mustache.
And by the way, amazing testosterone because that thing grew back so quickly.
Yes, it did. Ladies and gentlemen, run along on time. So anyway, Pat, as someone who always I love having people here, and this is something I give to people all the time when they come on, only to people who come on. So I want to give your own since you've been part of the process. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Pat.
Nerd bag.
How awesome is that? How cool is that?
Show all the kids what you got.
So I'm going to be planning my next show, which is going to be...
In 2 weeks
from today. I got to get the actual date because I'm stupid with dates. We'll be back here in the studio on the 27th. We're going to have Anthony Cole from...
BCW?
BCW. He's going to come down. So he's going to come down, maybe bring a wrestler or two. We don't know yet, but he's the owner of the company, very prestigious wrestling company up here in the Northeast. I'm trying to get some more wrestling promoters on the show, talk about their product. Like I said, I want to go a little bit more wrestling this year. So we're going to sit there and have some people come down. We're going to have some more surprises coming up, ladies and gentlemen. So at this time, I'd like to say... We did it.
Oh,
we did it! We're done! Cut! No one made any mustache jokes except for Pat. I'm done. Over. That's it. I'm going home.